SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And a very happy Thursday to you now, March the 27th, and we've got, well, one of the greatest sports days of the year taking center stage here today, and, well, we're going to talk all about it and get you covered with everything that is happening on Major League Baseball opening day today. The madness returns with college basketball, the Sweet 16. Coming up in just a little over an hour, we'll have the opening tip with the first game to get those festivities going. Plenty of NBA action happening here tonight, as well as the NHL. Boy, have we got a little something for everybody. And I want to thank you for taking the time to hang with us. Joe Ranieri here on Game Time Decisions in the Sports Grid Network. And again, happy Major League Baseball opening day. Unless, of course, you're the Cubs or the Dodgers, in which point you've already played a couple of games, but that's neither here nor there. Or the Rockies and the Rays, who actually, I believe, don't get started until tomorrow. But in the meantime, we've got, well, we got a whole lot, 28 other teams playing their first games to kick off the season here. And let's face it, this is a treacherous early start to the season. I would not suggest that you dive fully on board into betting Major League Baseball. It is the biggest grind that there is in all of sports. But slow and steady is, of course, what wins the race here. And a lot of this has to do with the fact that you're going to, we've already seen today a whole lot of number one starting pitchers take the mound. And we've also seen a whole lot of number one starting pitchers make it to maybe the fourth or fifth inning. Managers are very reluctant to push starting pitchers this time of year, which means we still have bullpens that are working their way into form. We've had some games that have just exploded for runs, like the Baltimore Orioles already today, who are just taking it out on the Toronto Blue Jays right now. I believe they just hit another home run. Looks like 11-2 is the score that we've got in that game right now. Sorry, 12-2. I didn't want to short them a run. 12-2 there in the top of the eighth. The festivities here, a lot of afternoon baseball began in the Bronx with the Yankees taking on the Milwaukee Brewers. Heck of a way to start, right? You get to you get a little interleague play to kick off the season, and history was actually made for the New York Yankees today on that opening day game, as the Yankees led off. Their leadoff hitter was, you ready for this, catcher Austin Wells, and he led off with a home run on opening day. That now, and I, this is hard to believe, but I guess it makes sense, right? He is now the first catcher ever to hit a leadoff home run for the New York Yankees. And when you think about the history of the New York Yankees, the idea for the first time in franchise history, anything happens, it's pretty funny here. But yep, when you bat the catcher in the leadoff spot, you have an opportunity for history, and that's exactly what Austin Wells did. Didn't take him long to make the record books in Yankee Stadium as he took Freddie Peralta, third pitch of the game, I believe, into the right field porch, leadoff home run. The Yankees went on to hit a couple of more shots, but they've got a 4-1 lead right now, top of the ninth. And guess who's closing it out for the New York Yankees? That would be newly acquired Devin Williams, who used to play for, that's right, the Milwaukee Brewers. So right off the bat, we get their former best closer there, Devin Williams, formerly of the Milwaukee Brewers, now pitching for the New York Yankees, looking to close it out and get the Yanks to a 1-0 start to a very long Major League Baseball season here. So plenty of MLB action. A couple of games coming up still a little bit later tonight, including the champs, the team that actually beat the New York Yankees in the World Series. That would be the Los Angeles Dodgers. They'll start tonight here at the top of the hour at home against the Tigers. Now, the Dodgers already have a couple of wins under their belt in Japan, thanks to the Cubs pretty much not knowing what they're doing. But the Dodgers home tonight to open it up for their fans. Boy, this is going to be interesting. Tarik Skubal taking the mound, the Cy Young winner for Detroit, going up against newly acquired Blake Snell. How do you like that? Blake Snell there, who was nowhere to be found early in the season last year for the Giants. He was hoping to sign some sort of big contract. Boy, that never came to fruition. But there was a stretch in the latter half of the season last year where Blake Snell might have been the greatest pitcher we have ever seen in a very, very long time. Talk about absolutely unhittable. That's what Blake Snell brings to the table. However, he never starts the seasons well, and there's a lot of money coming in here on the Detroit Tigers, who folks have not only winning the American League Central, but they believe with Skubal on the mound, anything is possible here. We'll see what he can do against the Dodgers, that game coming up again just after the top of next hour. You'll also have a couple of 10 o'clock Eastern time starts with the Athletics of, I don't know, where, Sacramento. The Sacramento A's taking on the Seattle Mariners. Gilbert taking on Luis Severino in a new uniform here. He'll be donning the Athletics green as he'll be in Seattle looking to take on the Mariners there. He has always been pretty good to start the season. We'll see if he can get the A's off to a 1-0 start to their very interesting next couple of years, especially with where they'll be playing their home games. And then, of course, the Diamondbacks and the Cubs in a pretty good pitching battle in Chase Field tonight. The Diamondbacks sending their ace, Zach Gallen, on the mound. Justin Steele taking the hill for the Cubs here. So still plenty a lot of Major League Baseball. Don't forget, got a whole lot of NBA tonight, too, as we're in the closing stretch here. Probably about 7-8 games remain for teams in the regular season. Big one in Miami here tonight with two teams trying to make it into the play-in spot. The Miami Heat taking on the Atlanta Hawks here. -1.5 for Miami. The total has taken a little bit of a dip. 226.5 right now is what we are looking at. So we've got a little bit on the line here over the next couple of weeks in the NBA as we wrap up the regular season. And of course, college basketball will be on everybody's mind, including ours here at the Sports Grid Network. This is a very special edition of Game Time Decisions. 1 hour tonight as we give way to Bracket Central coming up top of the hour. And boy, we get to watch Duke and Arizona go at it. We see Alabama going against BYU. Florida going on a little bit later as well against Maryland. 7:45, I believe, for that game. So we've got Texas Tech also in a very interesting spot taking on the number 10 seed Arkansas Razorbacks. So you are in the right spot. Don't go anywhere. We got much more to break down for you, plus updates in Major League Baseball as Devin Williams finds himself in a little bit of trouble against his former team. We'll let you know what happens here as Game Time Decisions off and running on this Thursday on the Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Oh, welcome back in Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. I'm Joe Ranieri. Very special edition of Game Time Decisions here tonight. We've got you until the top of the hour before we give way, of course, to Bracket Central here on the network as we get ready for Sweet 16. The madness returns, even though I am watching madness right now in the Bronx as Major League Baseball is back, in fact, with the Yankees with a 4-1 lead in the top of the ninth, Brought in their newly acquired closer, Devin Williams, formerly of the Milwaukee Brewers, who they're playing. And he promptly walked the bases loaded with nobody out. Looks like he's finally got one out, 4-2 first and third. Let me bring in Tom Vecchio before I hyperventilate and throw something. Tom, welcome in, man. You got to love Major League Baseball. If you think madness in college basketball is crazy, boy, oh boy, you had to suffer a Alex Bregman 395-foot out when you had him for an anytime home run. Was that correct as well?
Yeah, 392 fly out, 103 off the bat, which was exactly what I spoke about this morning on the early line with Ben and Donnie, talking about Nathan Eovaldi got hit really hard in the spring, multiple balls over 100, 103, and you know, just didn't come to fruition, which means he'll probably hit one tomorrow because that's something I'm known for. We got the Yankees blowing the lead. But we have four college basketball games to talk about.
Listen, we've got a little something for everybody here tonight. Going to start coming up in the top of the hour. And I'm kind of shocked. I saw today the markets move and a lot of money came towards BYU here as they get ready to take on Alabama coming up in that first game. I saw it as low as 3.5 at one point. There was some buyback. I think we're hovering around the 4.5, maybe 5 point now. But unless I'm missing something here, I mean, I think BYU's been a great story. Don't get me wrong. But unless Alabama absolutely doesn't show up here tonight, I don't see a scenario that BYU wins this game outright, but how are you approaching it?
So I saw 5.5 earlier today, also earlier in the week. If you miss getting the 5.5 on BYU, I honestly wouldn't bet it now. I would wait for an in-game number. I think it's really rational. Like, I think everyone's talking about points in this game, but I think it's rational to say that Alabama wins. They are a better team. But will they cover the number? Because if you got a 5.5, that's a pretty good number to have on BYU. And if you have the 3.5 on Alabama, also a great spot to have. I would much rather have the 3.5. If Alabama starts off fast and play fast, which they always do, I think this number is going to jump. We're 6.5, 7.5, whatever it might be. They get out and they score. That's where I would look to BYU. The total, I think, is far more interesting because they play fast. We know what they want to do. They want to get up and down the court. They want to shoot some threes. BYU can certainly knock down a ton of threes. So I'd be more interested with this game potentially starting off slow and then coming in on a live over. But I do think Alabama wins.
Yeah, I do. I do, too, here. I think Nate Oates and company. I mean, listen, I remember last year when we got to this point, the amount of people that were continuing to fade Alabama, and it just cost them. As Bama, who I don't think had a better team last year in this spot, man, went right through a whole lot of teams that nobody thought they were going to beat. Listen, BYU has been great, but I'm with you here, man. I just think Nate Oates and company and this Bama team, they'll be ready to take care of business. And I hope they take care of business, quite honestly, Tom, because I think it gives the best shot at downing Duke in this side of the bracket as Duke gets ready tonight to take on Arizona. I don't trust Arizona. We already saw this, right? What, 4 months ago, I believe, where Duke took on Arizona and it wasn't even close. Both teams are different here, but to me, it's the same old, Tom. What do you think we're going to get in this one?
You know, part of me wants to lean on Arizona team total under. And, you know, the other day we spoke about Caleb Love, and he did score a ton of points against Oregon. I was on Oregon money line, you know, full disclosure. I'm not saying a little bit jaded because of that, but there are times where Love doesn't show up or he shows up and he's remarkably inefficient. He goes on these hot and cold streaks. So I can't buy into an Arizona offense going up against Duke. And frankly, their defense doesn't get talked about enough. So do I love a 10 number in the Sweet 16, them covering 9.5? Probably not, but I do think Duke wins this pretty comfortably. Let's call it wire to wire. They're within 2 or 3 possessions, or they're holding a 2 or 3 possession lead most of the time, but I just don't want to lay the 9.5. I'm not interested in taking Arizona plus 9.5, so it leads me to an Arizona team total under probably.
Yeah, not a bad way to look. I don't think their defense gets enough credit there, Tom. Duke and their ability to shut some teams down. I also will say this. Every Duke game since the middle of February that Cooper Flagg has been healthy and played in, has resulted in Duke scoring 80 or more points. Their team total was 81, 81 and a half, Tom, and I'm going, what? If it ain't broke, don't fix it. No, Arizona's going to push the pace. Why not take the Duke team total as well?
Right, and at a certain point, if Arizona gets down, they're going to start launching threes, and it's just going to provide extra chances for Duke. They're going to have to foul. Like, that could get there pretty quickly. I'm not going to say down to the wire, but 5 minutes left, Duke could be there.
I agree with you here. Also, I know we've got Florida coming up against Maryland. A lot of Maryland money laid here. What are you thinking?
I don't know how Maryland is going to score if they're not getting production from their stars. If you look back, not including this game against Grand Canyon, the other day against Colorado State, against Michigan to close out the season in the Big Ten Championship, they do not get bench scored. So if Florida can take care of business against Queen and Company, I don't know where the points from Maryland can come from. So I like the game under 157.5. I think Florida will control things. Again, wire to wire, I do not think Maryland will be able to score. And frankly, I don't think Maryland wants to get out and run with them. I think the only way Maryland wins this game is if they muck it up and make it ugly and don't let Florida flex their offense.
You like Tech tonight too, as well over Arkansas?
I do. I also like the Arkansas team total under 71.5. I see this as a lower pace game. I don't think Arkansas is going to want to turn this. Their offense is not as good as Texas Tech. I just see this as a slower defensive game overall. Also, Cal Raleigh, 2+ total bases, late night MLB action.
Ooh, love that to go along with that new contract. Got to love that. Tom, enjoy the madness. We're going to have plenty of it, my man. Game time decisions continues on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in. Game time decisions here on the Sports Grid Network as we get ready for the madness to resume. Sweet 16 happening here tonight, coming up top of the hour, very special edition here at Bracket Central as game number one between Alabama and BYU will kick off the Sweet 16. So now would be a good time to check in with our friends Joe Madden and Tom Vecchio to see what they have in store with tonight's Sports Millions Pick'em.
Happy Thursday, everyone. It's time to jump into our Sports Millions Pick'ems here on the grid. And of course, Tom, we're going to turn to the Sweet 16. Kicking off today, we've got a lot of fantastic games out there. Where are you going to go with your Sports Millions Pick'ems?
Yeah, let's turn to Texas Tech versus Arkansas. This game has a lower 147.5 total, so I want to take two players, both to the lower. Let's start with Texas Tech. JT Toppin lower than 19.5 points. First two games of the tournament, we're looking at 12 points, we're looking at 25 points. More importantly, he's shooting a staggering 81% from the field, which is absolutely unbelievable. Throughout the regular season, he shot 56%. So I'm expecting a little bit of regression overall. Will he shoot 81%? No. Will he shoot all the way down at like 10 or 20%? No. It should be in that 50 to 60% range. And he has been absolutely awesome. But it also should be noted that playing against UNC Williamson and Drake over the first two rounds is not the same as playing against Arkansas. They were 17th in KenPom defensive rating. I'm expecting just things naturally tighten up as the tournament goes on. So Toppin lower than 19.5 points. On the other side, Boogie Fland lower than 7.5 points. This is a low number to begin with. You know, 7.5 points, not that high, but he's not seeing a ton of offensive usage to begin with. Carter Knox and Janal Davis are leading the way. Also, we have to look at Texas Tech. They are 262 in KenPom adjusted pace. They're not a team that wants to get out and run. So if we're playing a little bit slower, and the game also only has a 147.5 total overall, he's not seeing the ball, and we're just going to see fewer possessions back and forth. I expect this to be one of the better defensive games of the day. So Toppin lower than 19.5 and Fland lower than 7.5 points. Joe, what do you have?
That's going to be a great matchup out there, Tom. I'm going to look here at the game between Duke and Arizona. Now, I'm expecting that back-and-forth battle in this one. Arizona will need Caleb Love to step up if they have any chance of pulling off the upset here versus Duke. We know they're rolling in as the number four seed, and Caleb Love, having that history versus Duke, he's looking to come out and add to that rivalry he's had over the years with them, because he did play with North Carolina. So look for Caleb Love to come out nice and strong. Now, his biggest issue will be getting past Tyrese Proctor. Tyrese Proctor is going to be all over him in this game. But I do expect Caleb Love to be able to go higher than 17.5 points in this one. Fifth year senior, he has that time under his belt with playing in these tournament games. And look at him versus Oregon. In that game versus Oregon on Sunday, he was the reason Arizona was able to get the win and be here in the Sweet 16. He was able to score 29 points in that game, and on the season, averaging 17 points. I really do expect Caleb Love to step up and go higher than the 17.5 points. But then when we look at Duke, we know how strong Duke is rolling into the tournament here. Number one seed. And in their first couple of games in the tournament, they've had beautiful wins, winning by a combined of 67 points. Now, Cooper Flagg in those games, only averaging right around 15 points per game, but they were blowouts, and I'm expecting more out of Cooper Flagg in this game. He has a number of 21.5, and I will take that to the higher here. I'm expecting a Cooper Flagg to, while he'll get those assists on the board, he's so great at facilitating out to the three, but I expect him to be a star in this game like we know he is. So I'll take Cooper Flagg higher than the 21.5 points to really a step up from what we've seen. And I do think this is a competitive one. While we've seen Duke so strong on both sides of the ball, defensively and offensively, how Arizona is going to approach this one with Caleb Love, I don't think it's going to be that big, easy blowout win here by Duke that they faced in the first couple of rounds. So give me Cooper Flagg higher than 21.5 points, Caleb Love higher than 17.5 points for a 3x multiplier here on Sports Millions, Tom.
We have the first round of the Sweet 16 today. We will be back doing the same tomorrow.
It's going to be great Sweet 16 action, you guys. Enjoy, and we'll see you.
Enjoy Sports Millions Pick'ems, but hate making the picks yourself? Well, Sports Millions has you covered. Head on over and play Sports Millions Blitz'em right now and let the computer do the work. Go to sportsmillions.com/blitz'em to be able to win big prizes without having to make a single pick yourself. That's sportsmillions.com/blitz'em.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in. Game time decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. I'm Joe Ranieri. Appreciate you stopping by. As we got an abbreviated version of Game Time Decisions tonight. Why? Well, the madness returns, the Sweet 16, and the man taking over at the top of the hour in a very special edition of In-Game Live Bracket Central, the coach, James Young, in the house, joining us, the man who loves to share his tips when it comes to college basketball. And coach, I'm sure you've got a few of them here, especially with this BYU-Alabama game, because I keep seeing this morning a whole lot of BYU money hit the marketplace, still hovering around I'm seeing 4.5s now pretty much across the board. Are you a believer in this BYU team?
Well, I think, Joe, the big thing is their ability to score, right? If there's a team that can keep up with Alabama's pace, it's going to be simply BYU. This is the number 9 offensive efficiency in college basketball. They shoot the ball extremely well. They don't turn it over a ton. 6 in effective field goal shooting percentage. And obviously the fact that they can make 2s and 3s both in the top 30 makes them a formidable opponent. So this is a team that is, I honestly want to say, will not be deterred to run with Alabama. And I think that's what makes this game interesting. It's also why the total, Joe, is extremely high.
Yeah, well, I mean, Coach, I don't think there's a correlation between who wins and the total here, right? To me, this is, if from a defensive perspective, who gets more stops, and you know, can BYU defensively get enough stops in order to win this game outright?
And I think that's the key. And if you look at, you got to see how, especially they defend any kind of high ball screens. You saw different things in the matchups in the first and second round, right? Against Robert Morris, you saw with the high ball screen, they sent Cliff Amore to the rim. They were like, no threes, no threes, no threes. Second game, even with Grant Nelson in the starting lineup, They compacted. And here's the thing that's interesting, Joe. Both teams, obviously, high octane, right? But if you really think about it, BYU's offensive possession, average offensive possession, is 120th, right? But if you look at Alabama's defense, it's 17th. They're going to make you run, right? So that's the thing. Even though this game is going to be high-paced and high-octane, I really think that BYU doesn't mind if it's a little bit of half-court basketball so they can rest their legs. I don't think Nate Oates does that. I wouldn't be surprised if they picked up 75, 80 feet, let you get the ball in bounds, really try and force pace and tempo. That's why I think this game, even though as high as it is, still goes over.
Yeah, and don't forget, Coach, at BYU, first couple of games, had the fortunate luck there of playing in altitude. They won't have that here in this one as the games have swapped out. Talk to me about the other game coming up, 7:40 Eastern time, in that West Regional with Maryland taking on Florida. 6.5 is what I'm seeing now here, Coach, with Florida. And I love the Maryland starting five, but let's face it, Coach, that's all they got. And if anything happens to Reese or foul trouble or Queen, who are they bringing in? And I think that's the big issue here. The depth of Florida is pretty significant.
And I think that's the key. When you look at this matchup, right, the bigs of Maryland with Queen and Reese, yes, they probably have the advantage over Florida's bigs. But if when you go to the guard spot, there's a huge, huge advantage for the Florida guards. Not for nothing, like, is Kevin Willard, like, even focused on this game? Like, is he focused on the game, the NIL, Villanova? You know, and I think you get to a point where Florida is going to wear them down. It's going to be about the guard play. And I do think sometimes you get questionable decisions by Kevin Willard. I know people think he's this great coach getting $5 million a year. I don't see it. Coach Golden and find a way. I'm going to lay the points with Florida. I wouldn't be surprised if this is a 10 to 15 point win for them.
Yeah, I think Golden is I don't like and we've talked about it, Coach. We don't trust Kevin Willard here, and mentioned, ton of distractions. I think Golden's got it heading in the right direction. Are you leaning one way or the other as far as the over or under? It hasn't moved a whole lot. 156.5 I'm seeing here, 157. It opened up at 155. Are you leaning one way or the other here?
You know, if I go anywhere, I'm going to go to the team total over for Florida because I just don't know. If Florida takes away Queen and Reese, I get concerned with they'll be able to knock down enough three-pointers, right? But then if they don't knock down three-pointers, then comes a runout the other way for Florida, who's a team that can get out of transition. So I'm not touching the total overall. If I touch a total, I'm just going to take the Florida team total over.
These two teams combined for an average of 167 points a game. So it'll be interesting to see from a defensive perspective what we get from these two teams here tonight. Those are the early games. And then, of course, at right around 9:40 Eastern time, Coach, the Duke Blue Devils, the biggest spread on the board here tonight, taking on Arizona. Although I'm seeing nines in a lot of places, it never reached double digits this week, but nine seems to be the number here. Is it too many points we're giving Arizona?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Listen, we got to see if Brown plays. Remember Brown had the shoulder injury, game-time decision? Nice little plug for your show, game-time decision. I didn't do that on purpose. But when you look at it, if they have Brown and Flag, those are their two top perimeter defenders. I think that they're going to give Arizona fits. Got to remember, they already played at the McHale Center earlier this year. I think it was a 13 or 14-point victory for Duke. I think they're going to win. I wouldn't be surprised if they win it going away. The only way to have a chance, Joe, honestly, is if Caleb Love finds a way to, like, keep them in the game. If I'm Duke, I'm running different defenders at him. I'm going to try and wear him out. And I just think too much Duke because of their propensity to score. And honestly, just score from different areas. It could be Flag. It could be Knepel. It could be Proctor. It could be any one of us. It could be Gillis off the bench. It could be 7-8 guys. They're going to wear them down. Later points with Duke, I wouldn't be surprised if this is at least, I'm being crazy, maybe Alton. Later points, and maybe look at Duke 12.5. I think they're going to win this game going away.
I agree with you, Coach, 100%. Do not be fooled. Arizona was lucky to beat Oregon, given the fact that Oregon coaches a 77% free throw shooting team and they went 12 of 22 from the line. That ain't going to happen with Duke. Duke is one of the best free throw, the best, I believe, free throw shooting team left in the tournament right now. So if Arizona is chasing, which I think you and I are on the same page and believe that's what's going to happen here, are we going over, way over this total as well?
Yeah, I think you can look it over. I think Duke's going to be able to absolutely do whatever they want. I know the first game was, I think, 69-55. It was a really low-scoring game. Duke's offense is just so dynamic. So dynamic. If you want to look at team total over 82.5, I wouldn't blame you. I think this Duke team's going to be firing on all cylinders. They could score at will. The only concern you could have is, can Arizona keep up with Duke? I think it's going to be a problem. Later points.
They won by 14 at the McHale Center back in November. Two very different teams showing up here tonight. Cooper Flagg, I saw his points prop, coach, 21.5. You get over that?
Yeah, I think he goes over it. He's been kind of quiet, kind of doing a little bit, but this is where the step-out spot is. Now it's the Sweet 16. I think he goes over his points prop tonight.
Yeah, we got of course, Arkansas, Texas Tech, coach. We'll talk about that coming up. And I've got a question about the Duke Blue Devils here. I don't think Arizona is the team that takes them down or can take them down, but I do think Alabama presents a better option or a better opportunity if you're looking for Duke to finally get beat here. I think it's Alabama more than Arizona. We'll get your thoughts on that when we get back. And, of course, great slate of games coming up tomorrow for the second half of the Sweet 16. We have got you covered. Game Time Decisions continues on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. I'm Joe Ranieri. Appreciate you stopping by as we get ready for more madness. It's coming, and so is a very special edition of In-Game Live Bracket Central, top of the hour, as the coach, J.Y., James Young, he'll get you along with Ben Stevens and company. They will have all the action with the four games here tonight ready for you, and we are looking forward to it. Now, the coach, while he is had to run because apparently a few extra minutes in the makeup chair, from what I understand. I didn't ask questions, but he did tell me that, in fact, he liked Texas Tech tonight, minus the 5.5 here. And I'm really shocked. I would not be shocked if this gets to minus 6 before tip-off. This is the late game there. 10:09 p.m. Eastern time is the anticipated start here. And really, the questions about Chance McMillan, the best shooter that Texas Tech has, have been swirling now. He has not been able to play. The shoulder has been an issue. He has not played in the two games thus far that they have already won. But there was a whole lot of rumor mill going on that he was going to give this a shot tonight. And they are, make no mistake about it, a much better offensive team if Chance McMillan it can play here tonight. Now, I have not seen him ruled in or out one way or the other. It is going to be a true game time decisions, a game time decision from what I am being told. But they are a better team with Chance McMillan in that lineup if he is able to go here tonight. I think even if he's on a minutes restriction, you will see this line begin to creep up here. So my advice would be bet Texas Tech now at the 5.5, because if he is ruled out, I don't believe this line is going to be going towards Arkansas. And I give Arkansas all the credit in the world here for what Coach Cal, the buttons that he has been able to push here with this team and get them to where they are right now is nothing short of amazing. And let's not forget that they've also been doing that without their best player also, who is questionable here tonight to go. I do believe Arkansas, though. I do believe they're going to, they've already won without Theo there in that lineup. I think they are going to give total effort here tonight to muck this game up and make it a slog, much like they did against St. John's there, where St. John's, quite honestly, couldn't hit water if they fell out of a boat from behind the arc. Not that Arkansas was any better at it, because Arkansas as well was not very good, but they are extremely big. They are extremely athletic. And that gave St. John's all sorts of fits in that game and really took them out of their element, took them off their mark. And that is why you saw one of the more disgusting games that the Johnnies have played all season long. But the reality is that's the way Arkansas needs to win this game. They are not going to outshoot Texas Tech, especially if Chance McMillan goes. Their best opportunity in this game tonight is to make sure that they make it extremely physical. Don't give up a whole lot of second chance opportunities. I'm a little worried about Texas Tech being so trigger happy as of late in the tournament, having no issue firing up, 40 plus threes a game. I'm a little worried that if they're not falling once again, and Tech has not shot well at all in this tournament. Make no mistake about it, too. They are only shooting about 25% from three-point range so far. That's not good, and that is exactly what Arkansas wants. Arkansas is going to want to make sure that they don't get hot from outside. But they have got to make this, and I mean a very, very physical game. I believe Texas Tech certainly has the players, the depth, and the experience. This is one of the more experienced teams in the tournament that remains. I think they're going to be fine. I think McCaskin is a great coach. This is not a matter of one coach has an upper hand over the other. I think these guys are great. I do think JT Toppin and the length and athleticism of Arkansas, I think it begins with him. If you can make him uncomfortable, then yeah. I know the over seemed to be a popular bet in this game, but I think this definitely correlates to an under if you're taking the points with Arkansas. I do not believe Arkansas wants this game to be some sort of crazy shootout. I don't think they win it. I think Arkansas not only has a chance to cover, but to win this game outright. And if they do, we're going to get under that 148.5. Now, the question is, and I had mentioned this earlier with the coach before he had to head to the makeup chair. I had mentioned that I don't believe, and I have some friends that are holding future tickets on Florida. I have a couple of friends that also have future tickets on Houston and Texas Tech. And the thing that scares them the most is Duke. But here's the thing. I don't think Duke is going to be in jeopardy of losing a game against Arizona tonight, which is why, again, the market is telling you what they think of Arizona's chances in this game. I think the best opportunity for Duke to stumble comes when Alabama, who I believe is going to beat BYU, I think Alabama's got the better shot of beating Duke than Arizona does. So I think that's the way it's going to play. And I do believe Florida is going to advance here tonight with a win over Maryland. And I believe Texas Tech will have the better chance of beating Florida on that side of the bracket if you have future tickets on anyone else. But I still think it's going to come down to Florida and Houston one way or the other. But we'll take a look at some of those odds in the future market and the latest odds movement right now as the money is flowing and the odds are moving. And we have got you covered here as Game Time Decisions gets you ready for the Sweet 16 next on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in as we look to close out this edition of Game Time Decisions. Only an hour here tonight as we get ready to pass the baton to in-game live Bracket Central as the first game of the Sweet 16 getting ready to tip off here in just about 10, 15 minutes with Alabama taking on BYU. And that will be followed right around that 7:45, 7:49 mark when Florida gets ready to take on Maryland. Those are your two early games here tonight in the Sweet 16. And then the late games will be followed by Duke, who has, and I'll just for, it's kind of crazy when you think about just how dominant Duke has been. They have covered 10 of their last 12 games. The only games that they did not cover, Cooper Flagg wasn't in. They have covered 14 of their last 20 overall, and they have a habit of scoring at least 90 or more points. They like blowing teams out here. Now, granted, Arizona is not like anything they would have seen this year in the ACC, but 17 of their last 21 wins by the Duke Blue Devils have been by 10 points or more. This is hovering around 9 here, as nobody thinks in the Sweet 16 that you're going to have blowouts, that these teams are a little bit closer. I don't think so. I really do think if there's going to be a blowout here tonight, it's going to be one of the games. It's going to be this one. I do think that Duke is going to run away with this game because Arizona is going to be chasing. And I know this because Arizona, every time they have to step up in class, every time they've had to play, including Duke back in November, it has not been good. They are excellent against mediocre or less than mediocre teams. They beat up on them pretty good, but a lot had to go right for them against Oregon in that last game. Don't kid yourself. They were not, Oregon was beating them that entire game. They got a whole lot of positive variance on three-point shots. I think they shot 50% in the second half. And you got an Oregon team that during the season is a 77% free throw shooting team, went 12 of 24, 25, and shot around 50%. That's not going to cut it against this Duke team. And I think the more that Arizona has to chase, the more Duke opportunities are going to be there for easy buckets. I do think Duke wins this by double digits here tonight. And the other game that I think is going to be a bit of a blowout, or at least a double-digit win, is going to be Florida taking on Maryland. Listen, Maryland's starting five have been fantastic. They're one of the best starting fives in the country. But the reality is that is all they've got. They've got one of the worst benches in the country. And you've got to worry, although those bigs, Reese and Queen, have been tremendous, they've got a lot of bigs, Florida. They've got a whole lot of guys that they can throw right towards those two guys here. And I do think the way this game is reffed, watch it early, the way this game is reffed is going to go a long way in determining what happens here. And I do think that if Florida continues to throw some of the big boys there at them, and they've got four guys that they can throw at those two big men, if foul trouble becomes an issue for Maryland with Reese and Queen in the second half, I can assure you this game will be won by double digits and Florida. If those guys have to spend any time on the bench, there's nobody coming off that Maryland bench that can compete with the second wave that Florida has. I think Florida, and I also think Michigan State, are the two teams that have the luxury of having unbelievable depth for this time of year with guys that they can rely on. But the best player on the court tonight isn't Queen, ain't in Maryland side. It's Walter Clayton Jr. and Florida, and he have shown when it matters the most, you know who can make that big shot. So I do think they are lucky and Maryland fortunate to be here. I think they got out-coached and they got outplayed by Colorado State. And I think that shows here against a very determined and much better Florida team. And that'll do it. The madness is coming. Get ready. And we have got you covered here on the Sports Grid Network as In Game Live. Bracket Central. Ben Stevens, the coach, James Young. They're taking over. Enjoy the games. We'll see you again tomorrow on Game Time Decisions.